Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode. Welcome back, everyone, to a Friday Book Club discussion. I'm so excited to have you back for the 2025 reading season with this first episode. We just have a few announcements before we dive in. We are just one day away from the launch of Unwavering Faith. Tomorrow, we will release the paperback and ebook of Unwavering Faith. It's been such an exciting journey, and I cannot wait for you to enjoy Brody and Claire's adventurous love story. For my friends who enjoy audiobooks, we hope to have that ready for launch mid to late February. If you're on my newsletter list, then you have seen the mini unboxings we've enjoyed over the past few weeks as books, t-shirts, mugs, and totes have arrived. You can check out all we offer at literaryscape.com/shop. We have two free book club extravaganza events coming up for you as we celebrate the release of Unwavering Faith. The first event will take place on February 15th at the Branch Coffee Shop in Fairmount, Indiana, and I am so excited to have my author friend Abby Downey join me as well. This is an incredible opportunity to meet the authors, enjoy a cup of coffee, sit, chat about books, and play bingo. We hope to see you there. For those of you who do not live close, I will host the online book club extravaganza on February 22nd, and we'll chat about the book and play bingo and do some door prize drawings. You can learn more about these events at literaryscape.com/events. And finally, when you visit literaryscape.com/events, you will find all our coffee and books events for 2025. We have some incredible authors coming to chat with you this year. These are free events. You just need to RSVP to get the link to join each chat. That is it for announcements. In today's episode, we discuss The Pelican Bride by Beth White. This is the first book in her Gulf Coast Chronicles series. Now let's dive into this exciting book discussion. Before we dive into this episode, I just want to say that we are trying something different here. We have three of us in person, and Jamie is joining us on the line. So there may be a little bit of lag time. Just bear with us, but I think it'll go smoothly, but we'll find out, and you might get some laughs out of it. So we are kicking off this year with Beth White's series, The Gulf Coast Chronicles, and we're going to start by talking about the first book, which is The Pelican Bride. She has come to the New World to escape a perilous past, but has it followed her to these far shores? It is 1704 when French women, Genevieve Gallien and her sister, board the frigate Pelican bound for the distant Louisiana colony. Both have promised to marry one of the rough men toiling in this strange new world in order to escape suffering in the old. Genevieve knows life won't be easy, but at least here she can establish a home and family without fear of persecution for her outlawed religious beliefs. When she falls in love with Tristan Lanier, an expatriate cartographer turned farmer whose checkered past is shrouded in mystery, Genevieve realizes that even in this land of liberty, one is not guaranteed peace. Trouble is brewing outside the fort between the French colonists and the native peoples surrounding them, and an even more sinister enemy may lurk within. Could the secret Genevieve harbors mean the undoing of the colony itself? Had a little trouble reading through that one, but there you go. That is The Pelican Bride. All right. So this whole series, I got text from everybody in the book club group, except Mom, saying, it's so hard to keep track of who's who. So let's just, can we just talk for this book alone? We're going to focus on Genevieve and her sister, Amy, and then Genevieve's hero, which is Tristan. And then Tristan's brother, Mark Antoine. Okay, so we'll just focus on those guys. But they're the start of the confusion, I guess. I know you guys, Jamie, did you use your family tree, the family tree, as you read? She's got it here with her.
There were a lot. I thought it was a lot to follow. It was good. It was just, there were a lot of people. Like, I had to write it all down.
Yeah. Okay. And I know Jessica has her family tree there as well. So in case you get lost.
I think part of it was like, I know Tiffany had read it and she's like, about halfway through, you figured it out. I was probably 50% through before I figured it out, because I think of all the different names and all the different characters. And I was like, wait a minute, who was that again? Who was that again? And then mm-hmm. when you finally did, then it was easy to follow along. But the family tree really helped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. All right. So let's kick it off with what was your reaction to Genevieve and Amy's arrival and the living conditions at the fort?
Okay. I thought, like, the way they got off the ship was like, oh, my word. I would not like that. And then, like, you know, the fort, when you think of a fort, you think safety, security, strong. This fort was not. It sounded terrible, the conditions. I mean, it just didn't sound like it was built very well and just falling apart.
I just think soggy and dirty and ew, can I go home?
Yes. And they got a lot of rain, too. And it just... The flooding.
Yeah.
It
was, Jamie, what were your thoughts? Like, what was your reaction to?
It was sad to me. It made me sad because you think this stuff, I mean, this actually probably happened. I mean, not necessarily these characters, but to have your idea of what it's going to be, and maybe it's even not that magnificent, but what they were promised versus what they arrived to was just like, oh, wait a minute. And it's not like they have a way to go back home. So you're like, well, this is it. I'm just going to make the best of it. It's heartbreaking to think of how many women had to go through that.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Mom? What did you think of it?
It didn't surprise me how they got off, because I've read books in this genre and this time period before. But the conditions at the fort is what surprised me, that they weren't more secure and more safe, I guess, is the word, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, flooding, I mean, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think about the wildlife, because I think, ew, gross, there's like snakes and all of that. Because I think I could be putting these, but aren't there like, don't they call them cottonmouth snakes or something? They like the water or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm in the right state or area. Yeah.
I don't know. But they do have, well, now I don't know if they have the alligators and stuff there. They do at Florida, but I don't know.
Probably.
I think they do. Didn't they say something?
I'm sure they do. Alabama?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, oh, no, no way. She did a really good job describing it, enough to make me cringe, mm-hmm. for sure. But I have a real fear of snakes, so I can't stand those nasty things. All right. What did you think, then, about Genevieve and Amy and the rest of the Pelican Brides? Because this was a ship that brought these women over from France, and the whole thing was they were basically paid for by the government to come over and help settle the fort and marry these rough men that were cutting through the frontier. So
yeah,
we'll start with Jamie. What were your thoughts on them?
It was interesting. There was a very large spread of personalities. Yeah, I was not a fan of Amy. And some of them just, I mean, they're coming over there. They don't even know who they're going to marry. Obviously they don't really know what they're getting into. And I don't want to say the arrogance, but some of the girls were just like, so I don't want to say proper, but they were just, I don't know. It was very interesting to see how it just kind of functioned as a group. I loved Father Matthew, and how he kind of kept some of them in line in his little comments. That was fun. But the girls were interesting. I don't know how else to put it.
I would agree. I didn't like, did you guys like Amy at first?
No.
Yeah.
I could tell. I thought she's going to be a troublemaker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's just really spoiled. I think maybe that's what you're thinking of, Jamie. Do you feel like they were spoiled?
Yeah. It's like, do you realize what you're getting into?
They were very like, I don't know, kind of prissy.
Yes. And then
almost like they would be like tiptoeing around everything or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, honey, this is the frontier.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
They ain't gonna fly. Yeah, I would agree. I think they pulled most of these women from orphanages. Am I right?
I think most of them.
And Amy and Genevieve only got on the boat because they were Genevieve was basically a fugitive.
Didn't have a choice.
Yeah. So if you were an orphan in France at this time and you were given the opportunity to go to America, would you have done it?
I don't know.
Well,
she said, I don't know.
I heard Jessica.
Well, after reading this book, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Considering how France was and the, you know, you got to think back to how things were in that time period and, you know, think. There weren't a lot of freedoms, especially for women. So you'd think, yeah, if I had a chance for freedom, yeah, I might go.
Yeah, but I don't know that they were really guaranteed freedom, though, either.
No,
right?
but they did.
Well, from the religious persecution, yeah. Kind of, though.
Yeah, because Genevieve had to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's true.
I think with Genevieve, Amy, and the rest of Pelican Brides, I would say they were brave to come.
Yeah.
Because they're coming to an unknown,
mm-hmm.
and they have to get married. They have to pick somebody, even if they don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
Because at one point, the government was not going to provide for them anymore.
Right.
It was like, you know, like Genevieve was given an ultimatum. I don't know anybody else. You have till this time to pick a husband. We would no longer provide for you, which is scary because then what do you do?
Yeah. And you could get married to a real piece of work.
Yeah.
And there wasn't, you know, this is all you had to choose from.
Yeah.
So.
But it does make you think. Like,
yeah, it wasn't like they could go someplace else and find somebody else.
Like Mom was saying, I mean, you got to think of the time period, though. Like, we can look back and say, well, I wouldn't do that, but. What choices did they have? I mean, when you think you're going to have more freedom, even if it's, well, I'll have to put up with a horrible man, to them, it was like, okay, you still had to watch certain things, but the options may have still been better than where they were.
That's true.
Maybe not soggy. That's
true. And for Genevieve, it was, because she was basically going to be killed, I believe, for her crime.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you think about Tristan and his brother, Marc Antoine? The Lanier brothers. What did you think about them?
Tristan was like, I'm not getting married. You're not going to persuade me. I'm just here just to help out, and then I'm leaving. Like, he didn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Marc Antoine.
Oh, did you say Antoine or do you say Antoine?
Antoine. Antony? Antoine. I don't know.
Did you go Antoine, Mom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to go with Antoine.
I mean, I think he
was more of the laid back, fun brother. You know, more like loosen up Tristan type, you know.
They both came off as very like loyal, noble characters. So that was really nice. Definitely Tristan was more like, he seemed more like steady and very focused, where Mark Antoine or Antony or however you say that, he was more just kind of, I wouldn't say like the rebel, but he just kind of came off go with the flow in a way, careless.
He is kind of a rebel. That conversation that they had where Tristan was like, you should never sleep with a woman outside of wedlock. And he's like, I don't really think that God would like send me to hell because I slept with a woman I wasn't married to. And he goes, as far as I know, I don't have any kids running around.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're keeping quiet. That was interesting to watch him. They each had their own little spiritual journey that they took too, yeah, which was nice because it was more like you had two couples that you got to follow through the book as well. But I really enjoyed, I thought that they definitely mirrored their positions in the family. So you've got Tristan, the older brother, so he's going to be serious and this has to be done. And like he knew what had to be done and how to do it. And Mark Antoine, very knowledgeable in what he does. Very loyal, but also he's the younger brother, so it's like I don't really have to be that serious or be in charge, like Big Bro is, you know. So I thought she wrote them really well. I fell in love with both of them. They're very sweet guys, I thought, and probably the best looking and the best choice in the fort for husband material.
Yeah, those two of everything that was described. Yes.
Yes.
All the others, I was like, oh, she's going to have to marry him. So that kind of leads into, I was very curious as to what you ladies thought about all the different men at the fort. Because there's a lot of men and very few women.
Yeah.
Well, I like the one where they're at the bar. And they're gambling, and then I can't remember the character's name, but they're like, "Well, I'll give you my wife or
my bride,"
and I'm like, "You're just gambling your brides away."
Yeah, I know. It's like they have no respect for these women. It's just
they're just there.
Oh, just pick one. You know what? Does it matter? I don't know.
Well, there was also a lot of what was it, yellow fever or something? So a lot of them died. The women and the men died, so it almost came off as like,
well, I'll just pick another one.
Yeah, there'll just be another one here that I can.
But they weren't really faithful either.
No.
No.
Which didn't even make sense. There weren't even that many women. How did they even accomplish that? Like, I don't know. Sorry.
But you're right. It was like, well, I'm out of cash, so I'll put my bride up. Yeah. Yeah. Put her in the pot. Yeah. You know?
Oh my goodness. It
was kind of weird because, sorry, go ahead, Jamie.
Oh, you're good. It makes you sad for her because it's like, man, you came over here and you're not even special and there's not even that many women. You should be a very treasured thing. And just like, just take her and poke her or whatever they were playing.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember. Sort of gambling game that they had there. But then the one, she went nuts because she was married and then the husband died. And then did she remarry again? And then that one died or something. And then she just kind of went cuckoo after that.
I felt bad for her because it was like,
because it also sounded like some other men may have, because they had to put her under, like, basically in the cell because she was just wandering and out of her mind. But then it sounded like it got worse because then there were men that were abusing her while she was in the prison. Yeah. So, when she was supposed to be there to be safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which at least the guy at the fort, I can't remember his name, but the man that was in charge of.
Bellevue?
Yes. At least when he found out, he was livid and made sure that she, that they were punished and that she was taken care of from there on out. So I did appreciate that about him. But for the most part, I didn't care for him. What did you guys think about him?
No.
I didn't care for him either. I mean, I appreciate him being, you know, making sure they were safe. But beyond that.
That was about it.
Didn't really care for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though they were like, oh, he's probably, well, especially Amy, he's like the best choice because he's the leader and he's handsome. And I, the, but when then they describe his character and I was like, ew.
Yeah.
You can be handsome and still be gross.
This is so true.
In my opinion. Anyways, okay, so we digress there. We're getting into looks. Now, there's this other character that pops in. She pops up on the page right away, actually, in the story. And I was calling her Nika. Is that how you guys said her name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what did you think about Nika and her situation?
I felt really bad for her because of the way her husband treated her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there was really no escaping it. Like, she didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was so mean. I mean, just all the time.
Just cruel.
Just like there was no love there at all.
Say that again, Jamie.
He was just very cruel. Like, there was no emotion. Like, he did things to hurt her, and he didn't care at all.
Yeah. I would say cruel is a good word for him, wouldn't you?
Yes.
And I know it was not a marriage of choice either, in that there's this other thing hanging out that points to something else that would make him want to be mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As well. But I don't want to share that because I'm telling you, she put a lot of twists and turns in this.
They were surprises. I didn't see them coming, and I really enjoyed those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, she's like, an excellent writer.
Especially the one with Tristan.
Oh, yeah. Twist with Tristan.
With that and that, did not see that coming at all.
Mm-hmm.
Did not.
I must not remember what you're talking about.
Well, I can't say too
well,
much.
We don't want to say too much. No, don't say too much.
But it was a good twist that I just didn't see.
Jamie, do you remember the twist?
I think I do, but I don't know.
Well, maybe Melissa and I
talking about the other twist, though.
Not with
it explained a lot.
The twist with Tristan?
The twist with Nika. Like,
oh,
you still, like, even going back to that, like, I know her marriage wasn't a marriage of choice, but even, like, going back, it's just your heart hurts because she's young. I mean, it's not like she could say or do anything different. But it's one of those things, again, it's like every book in the world, you're just going to say, just talk to each other. I don't get it.
I know. Yeah. I know. And the twist with Tristan, that news came through Father Mayhew?
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Do you remember that? Okay. Okay. Hmm. Well, that's all we're going to say. If you want to know, you got to read the book.
Yeah. Because, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I better go back and read the book because I'm lost.
So overall, did you enjoy Genevieve and Tristan's love story?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We are going to go in. I enjoyed it too. But I also enjoyed Marc Antoine's love story too.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's rate the following elements. What would you give the rating for drama in this book? An espresso, a mocha, or a latte?
Mocha?
For drama?
Yeah. I thought the women brought a lot of drama to the board.
I think probably the highest rating one.
Latte?
Latte, yeah.
I think you could go mocha or latte with that one. What about the mystery level?
I'd say mocha. There's a lot of things in there that you kind of get hints about throughout the book that don't really come to fruition until the end.
Mm-hmm.
I would say mocha, too.
I would agree, because there's a lot of twists in there.
Yeah.
That you're trying to figure out. And only one of them I figured out before it was revealed. So, yeah, I'd go mocha. What about suspense?
Espresso?
I'd probably go espresso, too. I can only think of one moment that really stood out that I was really, like, concerned. Yeah. It was with Nika, and she was trying to hide from her
husband. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So...
that or some of the flooding situations.
Oh, yeah. I never thought about the flooding situations.
But yeah, but not necessarily like.
Yeah, that was kind of suspenseful.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Yeah. What about the inspiration level?
Mocha.
Maybe mocha?
Yeah, I would say mocha. I think that the characters just do a really good job of having a bold faith through their daily living, but there's not like a lot of preaching or big miraculous changes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
How about the romance level?
Mocha.
Espresso to mocha.
Yeah. I would say espresso to mocha because they weren't, both couples really weren't with each other a ton. Yeah. It's like they'd get together for just a little bit and then they're separated for a while and then they're back. I would say espresso and mocha. All right. What is your overall lasso rating of The Pelican Bride by Beth White?
Can you repeat the it's
okay. The lassos are, there's one lasso that's a throw and a miss.
Okay.
Two lassos is a throw and a hook, and three lassos is hooked and hogtied.
I would say two lassos.
I'd give it three lassos because I loved the book. I really did.
Okay. What do you got?
I'm going to be probably 1.5 to 2. They were good stories. I just don't think it was for me. There was a lot going on.
There was a lot going on. I'd probably say 2. The other books in the series I enjoyed a little bit more than this one.
Agreed.
So it's well written, but it's definitely for someone who enjoys multiple point of views.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably what threw people at first. So, but wonderful book all over. I enjoyed it, and I really enjoyed the ones that come after it, and you really can't understand the ones that come after if you don't read book one.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, that is our discussion of The Pelican Bride, and next week we will bring you the second book in the series, The Creole Princess. Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider signing up for our free newsletter. Each week, you'll receive news about our events for both readers and authors, plus updates on my books. You can sign up at literaryscape.com/newsletter. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.